the Yazidis, one of the world's smallest and most endangered religious minorities. They are an ancient religious tradition of about 250,000 in the Middle East. They believe God has entrusted the world to seven angels led by the peacock angel. To Islamic extremists, however, Yazidis are devil worshippers and the target of a new genocide. Since her escape from being an ISIS sex slave in late 2014, 21-year-old Nadia Murad has campaigned to save the Yazidis. She's addressed the United Nations, and in this interview with Andrew West of the Religion and Ethics Report on ABCRN, reveals the role that Australian-born extremists are playing in this genocide.
On the 3rd of August 2014, we were sleeping and ISIS attacked us in early morning. They killed directly many people in their houses and people flee to mountains. They also killed some of them in the way to the mountain, and they bordered not just Kocho, my village, but also all the villages and also the town of Sinjar. A lot of crimes against my people.
What did they say to you about the Yazidi people, why they hated the Yazidi people?
When they separated us, children, women and men from each other, they killed all men and told us females that you are slaves, and because you are Yazidis, Yazidis are devil worshippers, are infidels or people of no book, so these people should be wiped out, and that's why we are not enslaving Kocho village, just Kocho village, but we will kill all Yazidi men and enslave all their children and females.
This is very difficult for you, so only tell me what you feel comfortable telling me. But what did the enslavement of yourself mean?
It's very difficult for me to tell what happened, but I can tell you that when they separated me from my mother and sister, all of us know that they will rape us or beat us and also use us as sex slaves. It's difficult. I can tell you more about this.
I know that many of your family were killed. Can you tell me about what happened to your nephew, because he is still alive?
From my family and my extended family, I have 18 persons killed or they are missing now. And also from my relatives, I have tens of them in either killed or missing from Kocho village. My nephew Malik have been taken with more than 1,200 other Yazidi boys to Raqqa, and they are training them to be as the next generation of terrorism. His mother was with him for 3-4 months, and she was trying to keep her children as a Yazidi, but after her mother managed to escape, ISIS brainwashed my nephew, and last time he called us, he said that I am on the right religion and your religion is false, and when I come back, even if I come back, I will kill all of you because you are infidels and devil worshippers.
Nadia, one thing that will shock many Australians was the story that I believe that you or some of the other women, the Yazidi women who were enslaved, you heard the voices of Australians among the people who were mistreating you. Can you tell me about that?
Those who raped us or enslaved us, they were from all nationalities, and all of them were Muslims, and mainly were Arabs from Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Syria, and other countries. But also there were thousands from Western countries. I personally didn't meet any Australians, but some other girls from their testimonies said that those who enslaved us are Australians, and they have their names and all their details.
They know the names and the details of the Australian fighters. What should happen now?
I and all Yazidi girls, we want to bring those criminals to justice, not just Australians, but also all those who joined ISIS from different countries. But I think Australia, as a member of ICC, the government can lead the mission and prosecute their own people for their crimes against the Yazidi woman, and then this will be a first step for other countries to also take a step to prosecute their own people. And as you might know, Iraq is not a member of ICC, and there is no chance to prosecute, to have an international criminal court there in Iraq without support from countries like Australia.
You mentioned there the ICC, the International Criminal Court. You've had the chance to meet many world leaders, including the United States Secretary of State John Kerry, the President of Greece, and leaders of Scandinavian countries, the Prime Minister of Britain. What have you told them, and have they given you any commitments?
All of them told me that ISIS is our enemies, and ISIS is a very dangerous organization, and we all are working to eradicate them. But from my point of view, there is no real action or serious action to defeat ISIS or bring them to justice, because there is no legal fight against them. It's just military fight, and I think there should be also a legal fight against those criminals.
Just finally, Nadia, you did manage to escape. How many Yazidi women, how many Yazidi people are left behind in the enslavement of ISIS? And, I mean, is there a practical way of liberating these people, or do we need, effectively, Western troops to go into the country?
There are more than 3,500 Yazidi women, girls and children in captivity. There are more than 2,000 or so were able to flee or manage to escape from captivity. Now the rescue missions are very difficult because ISIS knew that Yazidis are fleeing from their enslavement, so the rescue mission becomes very difficult. If there is a troops or army there, if the world can work to cut the financial source for ISIS and work together to eradicate them, they will rescue all Yazidi women and girls there in Raqqa and in Iraq and Syria.
Nadia Murad, thank you very much for your bravery and speaking out.
Thank you so much.
Now, Ahmed Boujas of the Yazidi organization, you've been translating for us. This is an international organization that you help run. Do you think the world is fully aware of the plight of the Yazidi people? Many people had never heard of the Yazidis until a couple of years ago.
Unfortunately, no, because as you know, Yazidis are a very small community and they have no power, they have no money, they have no support, and that's why the world is not caring about them. We've been working for more than 2 years to tell the countries and sending reports about the atrocities, about the crimes, about everything we've been sending to all governments around the world, but nobody is taking action. And now the UN is also working and saying that this is genocide. The genocide is ongoing. Yazidis are facing extinction. All our people are living in tents since 2 years.
In tents. In the deserts.
And there is no enough food, medicals. There is no life there. They are desperate. And to be honest, almost all of them are facing psychological problems, and they are in very difficult situation.
Ahmed, obviously, when you meet these world leaders and international representatives, when you go to the United Nations, they say all the right things about needing to fight ISIS. But are there powerful blocks, powerful entities in the world that are preventing action to protect the Yazidis?
No, believe me, fighting ISIS is just a game. Can you imagine that a coalition with USA and more than 60 countries are fighting just one terrorist organization in two countries, and also there is an Arab coalition with more than 36 countries. All these countries, nearly 100 countries, are fighting with planes, with tanks, with very heavy weapons, and they can't eradicate them. This is unbelievable for us, and we are there. We know how they are playing the game, and in fact, Yazidis fighters on the Mount of Sinjar. I've been in contact with them. They said, we were clearly seeing ISIS troops, and they were not letting us shoot them. That we have to get the order from the high level to shoot ISIS cars.
So what, Western troops that were there did not want Yazidis to act in self-defense?
Yes.
No self-defense. They say no self-defense.
Yes, it's like bureaucratic fighting against ISIS, and that's why ISIS is playing their games.
Andrew West with Yazidi campaigner Nadia Murad. This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. Thank you for listening.